I received one of your tapes yesterday after I got in from Tangiers, and I started to tape to you then, but I decided that perhaps it would be a little bit, you know, I sounded kind of tired after having driven all that way and all. So I thought that I'd make a tape tonight and get it out in tomorrow's, or if I can get it out in tonight's mail or tomorrow's mail, so that you'll know all the news from here, what there is of it, and that I can answer your questions if I can remember all of them. It was very good to hear Aunt Josie and Uncle George's voice and sound just like them. And Dad, you always sound the same to me, you know. I can always recognize your voice. I don't know why anyone would say that you don't sound like yourself. And I'm happy that Mary Rosandi's received the soap. I did mail Amelia Bielski the soap the same day. I don't know why she hasn't received it. Probably very shortly, I should think, anyway. Unless it's been lost or something like that. And Allison say if she liked her little figures in that, but I hope she did. I'm certain she did, because I thought I think they're so cute. And I do have an insurance slip, which I'll enclose in this tape envelope for the tape recorder. However, don't bother sending the tape recorder back. I mean, as you say, you can probably have a little bit of fun with it around the house or something, but I wouldn't bother sending it back to me because I don't think it's worth it. And let's see, what else did I have to say? Yes, I'll send Aunt Jo a letter. I'll send her a letter or a postcard. And I'll try to remember to send one to Father Price, although, you know, he hears from me regularly every month. Not a letter. I just send a check. But I know he receives them because I always get them back canceled. And everything, about the golf, Dad. I'm not going to start until I finish Spanish, because Spanish has kept me on the go. And I think that I'd be better off to wait until the 2 months are up. I only have another 6 weeks to go. And besides, we'll be moving, we hope to move around the 15th of March, and that will keep us busy, too. So, you see, I'm going most of the time. I'm kept on the go, anyway. And I'm glad you got the mantilla, Mother. You told me that you had in a letter and that you like it. I was certain that you would. And let's see, now I guess I think that covers just about everything on the tape, doesn't it, as far as questions are concerned? I'm anxious to hear the tape from Athol. I think it does, anyway. Well, I'll begin telling you about Tangiers and what we did and the fun we had and all, and then I think if I can think of anything else at the end that I should probably be telling you, I will. Today is one of the last days in Cadi that they're having the processions and all before Ash Wednesday. However, I was going to go, but I decided not to because we're having a reception for the new Catholic chaplain, who is a Brooklyn priest, by the way, between 5 to 7, and I thought perhaps I'd better get myself over there to say hello to him and goodbye to Father Keeley. So I decided not to go on up to Cadi with the girls. Pauline is working. She'll be off off PMs this weekend. Well, Tangiers, as you know, was in French Morocco. And in order to get there, you can either fly or take a boat. And we elected to take the boat, although the flight only costs about $5 one way. But the boat second class is only $8 a round trip. So we went down to Algeciras, which is about a 3-hour drive. And it's right across from the Rock of Gibraltar. In fact, you can drive onto Gibraltar from Algeciras. We parked the car and took the ferry ride over. It's about a 2-hour ferry ride. And we had to stop. I think I should explain this right at the beginning. You know, going from one of these countries, like from Spain to French Morocco, is the most complicated process that you ever could imagine. And when you hear Europeans and Middle Easterners and all talking about their papers, their identification papers or travel papers, you really can't imagine what they're talking about until you've been in the situation. My passport was never validated here. I never bothered to have it validated, but I'm going to shortly. But you may travel with your ID card and 5 language papers, or language papers written in 5 languages, I should say. So I got language papers, and in order to get in or out of the country, let me tell you, it's something. They stamp, you have to see at least 5 different people. The Spanish customs, Spanish police, the Moroccan customs, and somebody else. This is before you even get on the ship to go over. And then when you get in the other end, you have the same process to go through. Oh, I tell you something. So we got on the boat. You couldn't make it in 5 minutes. I mean, you couldn't suddenly run down there 15 minutes before sailing time, expect to get on. It would be just impossible. So we went ahead and we got on the boat, and it was a very pleasant ride, sunshiny day, and it only took 2 hours to get there. And I went with one of the school teachers, and with one of the waves, the other school teacher had decided not to go at the last minute. She wasn't feeling well. So when we got there, there was a guide from the hotel ready to meet us. This other school teacher had made reservations, and while they warn you about guides and everything, you're sort of lost because you can't go anyplace, at least the first time you're there, without knowing what it's all about, without getting a guide. So we, this guide said, as he took us to the hotel, if we wanted a tour of the city, he'd take us around for a couple hours in the afternoon for $10 for the three of us, which didn't seem terribly outrageous. Tangiers, I think, is a little more expensive than some of the other cities. So we agreed and went to the hotel and checked in and everything, and the rooms weren't bad. They weren't any great shakes, but they weren't bad at all, even though this was a first-class hotel. So then we took the tour of the city, and it was quite interesting. And as I say, if we didn't have a guide, we probably wouldn't have been able to see anything at all. Oh, we went out to where Hercules Cave, you know, Hercules from mythology, supposedly made a cave where he used to take the pirates in from the Straits of Gibraltar. Well, you know, speaking of the Straits of Gibraltar, the last time I had seen them was when I was sailing back from the Med, if you recall. But anyhow, we went into the caves, and inside the caves they had where the old Bedouins used to make millstones. They cut them right out of the wall of the rock in the caves, and they had millstones there, you know, what the old, even in biblical times they referred to them for grinding flour and all. And it was very interesting to see. Of course, you pay for all this, not much, about 30 cents, I guess. And took us out to the camels, and we had a ride on the camel, and I figured if Jackie Kennedy could do it, so could I. So I wouldn't care to travel any distance on this mode of transportation by any means. So while we were on the way out to the camels, we passed the king's house, and oh, I tell you, that's something. It's because we didn't go any place near it. He didn't invite us in for tea or anything like that. And then we drove, as we were driving along, there was a Muslim funeral, and only the Muslims, men, are allowed to participate in funerals. And they sing some sort of a burial hill all the way to the cemetery, which is not like ours, it just looked like a regular hill. And they carried him in kind of an open, not even a box, really. He was covered over with sort of a sheet, I guess. Oh, I neglected to tell you about their dress. Most of the people are Muslim, the Moroccans are Muslim, and they are not true Arabs in the sense of the Syrians or Lebanese, and they're very different. They don't eat the same food, and they speak a almost polyglot type of Arabic. You couldn't think someone speaking Arabic would not be able to understand them very well. And as I said, their food isn't the same. And there's a great deal of illiteracy, naturally. Most of them cannot read or write. And I feel fairly certain that our guide, if he could read or write, could read or write very little, although he could speak a couple of languages. But the men wear the old traditional Muslim dresses. Over there, they wear pantaloons, or like our knickers, only much fuller. And over that, they wear a long robe with a hood. And they're either black or brown or blue or white. You occasionally find them in white. And most of them wear the fez today, even. And the women, well, to tell you the truth, their dresses almost look like nuns in a way. They reach to the ground, and they again are in black or blue or even a pinstripe. And some of them wear white, though, and they wear gloves and these long dresses, and they wear a headpiece that looks almost like a nun.